Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building low-end pressure around a shaped breakbeat in Ableton Live 12, with that rag-inflected drum and bass energy that feels rough, Georgian-ma-Georgian-o-Georgians-a-Georgian-a-ing, and seriously alive. This is an advanced drop-building exercise, but the big idea is simple. The break gives us motion, the sub gives us weight, and the mid-bass and vocal style response phrases create the attitude. When those three things are separated properly, the groove hits harder without just getting louder. That's the whole game here. We're aiming for something that could sit in a rolling jungle switch-up, a darker reggae DNB section, or a halftime adjacent drop where the drums are still moving fast, but the weight feels huge. So think less full song arrangement and more drop tool. We want a loop that already feels like a serious moment in the track. Start by setting the session up for impact and separation. Go with 174 BPM if you want that classic modern DNB push, or 170 BPM if you want a little more breathing room. Create tracks for your break loop, a break chop layer, sub bass, mid bass response, an FX or vocal stab track, plus a drum bus and a bass bus. Put utility on your bass tracks and keep them mono by default. That mono discipline matters a lot in DNB, because the low end has to stay locked in the center if you want the system to hit clean. If you're using a reference, load one in now. Pick something in the same world, maybe a rolling jungle tune, a dark roller, or a ragga DNB track with tight low-end control. Don't mix to loudness yet, just level match it later, so your ears know what kind of balance you're chasing. Now for the break. Choose one with strong snare character, some syncopated hat detail, and enough mid-range bite to cut through. We're not looking for a perfect loop right away. We're looking for a break that has personality. Warp it carefully. If the timing is already solid, beats mode is often the better choice, because it keeps the transient punch intact. Use Complex Pro only if the source really needs it, then clean it up surgically. High pass the break somewhere around 80 to 120 Hz so it doesn't fight the sub. If the low mids get cloudy, trim a little around 200 to 350 Hz. If the hats are too brittle, a small shelf cut above 8 to 10 kHz can smooth things out. The point is not to sterilize the break. The point is to leave space for the bass while keeping the break's identity. Here's a strong advanced move. Duplicate the break track and make a parallel impact layer. On that duplicate, keep just the snare crack and top attack, clean it up with tighter EQ, and blend it underneath the main break. That can give you more perceived punch without making the whole loop louder. Next, shape the break into a call and response pattern. You can do this in simpler or slice it into a drum rack if you want tighter control. Think about the architecture of the groove, not just the audio. You want strong snare hits, little ghost kicks before the snare, tiny hat pickups at the end of the bar, and maybe one or two deliberate holes where the bass can speak. A good way to do this is to build a two-bar phrase. Make bar one a little fuller, then bar two slightly stripped back, maybe with an extra fill or a small ghost hit. Use velocity like a musician, not like a robot. Ghost notes can live around 35 to 70% of the main hit velocity, depending on how forward you want the groove. And here's a teacher tip. Sometimes the most powerful move is not adding another chop, but leaving a tiny gap. Silence can make the next hit feel way more intentional. Now build the sub. Keep it simple. A sine, triangle sine blend, or a very clean waveform from Waveedable. Operator or analog is perfect. Put utility after the instrument and keep it mono. Then use EQ8 to remove anything above about 120 to 150 Hz if the patch has extra harmonic spill. Write the sub line so it locks to the spaces in the break, not underneath every drum hit. That's one of the biggest differences between a heavy DNB low end and a muddy one. If the break is already carrying rhythmic energy in the low mids, the sub should support, not crowd. Short notes, controlled release, and a little breathing room between phrases will make the groove feel much stronger. For this style, try note lengths around eighths or quarters, depending on how rolling or tense you want it to feel. Next comes the ragga style mid-bass response. This is where the attitude really comes alive. Use Waveedable, Operator, or Roar as your core sound and aim for something with enough harmonic content to read on smaller systems. A detuned saw, a saw triangle blend, or a patch with formant-like filter movement all work well. A simple chain could be Waveedable, Auto Filter, Saturator or Roar, EQ8, and Utility. Start with the filter cutoff somewhere in the 200 to 800 Hz zone depending on the patch, keep resonance moderate, and add just enough drive to create audible harmonics without turning the whole thing to mud. The rhythmic placement matters as much as the sound. Think of this bass as an answer, not a constant layer. If the break lands hard on beat 2, let the bass answer on the offbeat. If there's a sere fill at the end of bar 2, let the bass drop out and come back with authority. That raga energy often comes from the phrase shape more than from the actual timbre. It should feel like the bass is talking back to the drums. Now route the break layers to a drum bus. On the group, use glue compressor with a slowish attack so the transients still punch through. A ratio around 2 to 1 or 4 to 1 is plenty, with attack around 10 to 30 milliseconds and release on auto or somewhere around a tenth to 3/10 of a second. You only want a couple of dB of gain reduction. Then add a little drum bus if needed. Keep drive low to moderate, and if you use boom, place it carefully so it doesn't conflict with the sub. A touch of crunch can add edge, but be subtle. The drum bus should feel like it's welding the break into one physical object, not flattening it into a brick. If the snare starts to get spiky, back off the processing or shape the transient in the clip itself. In this kind of music, the snare is often the emotional anchor, so don't sand off all its character. Now let's create low-end separation. Put sidechain compression on the sub and mid-bass, using the kick with the drum bus as the trigger. Keep the settings musical, fast enough to make room, but not so obvious that the bass disappears completely. A little bit of ducking on the kick transient is usually enough. You don't need the whole low end pumping all over the place. Also, check everything in mono with utility. This is not optional in DMB. Use Spectrum or EQ8 to watch for overlap. You generally want the sub mostly under 80 to 90 Hz, the body and audibility around 120 to 400, and the break crack and presence above that. If things smear, shorten the bass notes before you reach for more compression. That's usually the cleaner fix. Now start thinking like an arranger. Build a 4 or 8 bar loop and give it shape. Bars 1 and 2 can be tension and broken rhythm with minimal bass movement. Bars 3 and 4 can be where the bass answers and the kick snare interplay locks in. Then by bars 5 through 8, bring in a fill, a vocal chop, a filter open, or a heavier return hit. Automate a few things to make the loop evolve. A filter sweep on the mid-bass works great. A little reverb throw or delay on a vocal stab can add drama at the end of a phrase. You can also automate saturation or distortion upwards slightly in the last half of a section, so the drop feels like it's escalating. That kind of automation is often more effective than just turning everything up. If you want a really strong transition, resample part of the bass or break processing, then slice the best moment back into the arrangement. A printed fill often feels more original than trying to program every little switch up from scratch. And if you're aiming for DJ friendliness, keep a cleaner version too, with fewer fills and less top-end chaos, so it can blend well in a mix. Here's an important mindset shift. In advanced DNB, the loop usually gets better when you think in timing layers, not just sound layers. Try nudging the break chop slightly ahead of the grid, the sub slightly behind, and the mid-bass right on the grid or just off it. Those tiny offsets can create a serious sense of push. Also, use contrast. Don't make every bar equally intense. If every snare is equally sharp and every bass hit is equally aggressive, the ear gets tired. Let one bar be harder, then soften the next bar slightly. Let one phrase have more low-mid body, then thin it out while another element takes ownership. That handoff between the break and the bass is what keeps the groove moving. A few mistakes to avoid here. Don't let the break own the sub region. Don't make the sub too legato. Don't saturate every bass layer at once. Don't fill every gap with more notes. And don't ignore mono compatibility. In this style, more layers does not automatically mean more pressure. Often it means more conflict. For a quick practice pass, build a 4-bar loop with a shaped break, a mono sub that only hits on the strongest points, and a Rida-style response bass with a short envelope. Put the drums through a group, add a light glue compressor and drum bus, then automate one filter sweep and one delay or reverb throw at the end of bar 4. Render it to audio and listen back in mono for a minute. If it still feels heavy without looking busy, you're on the right path. The final goal is simple. Make the groove feel heavy, mobile, and controlled. The break should have swing and snare authority. The sub should stay stable and focused. The mid-bass should answer like a conversation. And the whole thing should breathe just enough that when the next drop element arrives, it feels massive. That's the low-end pressure lab mindset. Clean separation, rhythmic tension, and just enough raga swagger to make the drums and bass feel alive. Now let's build it, bounce it, and make it hit.